You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, welcome on back to Dana and Parks. It's not often I open my inbox and there's an email from a local police department saying, hey, check out what we just posted online. So apparently, if you live in Excelsior Springs, the power went out the other day. Like, legit really went out, and it's 140,000 degrees out. We all know that. So it turns out, when they traced back the source of why they saw this massive power outage, they found a bunch of power poles in this area of Excelsior Springs that were snapped like twigs.
Okay, probably a pretty good indicator that that's where it started.
Was it maybe bad weather? Like, what is going on here? Here's what happened. The driver of a very large truck has been arrested after snagging power lines with the excavator he was pulling with this gigantic boom thing. And when that happened, sort of like in a cartoon, when you pull back a power line,
okay,
the thing does not give way. He keeps driving. It's pulling like a rubber band. When it snaps, all of the power poles go down like dominoes. The whole thing is caught in. If you haven't seen it, Sam, it is crazy. The truck, like, you can see it. There's no, like, play-by-play here, but just follow me in your mind. The truck is driving. Dan and I watch this. It then stops. I'm assuming when it stops, this is the point where he's like, God, am I stuck on something?
Was there a stop sign, intersection? Nope. He just randomly stopped.
He keeps going.
Okay.
And you don't see anything for a while. And fun fact, it takes a while for the tension to catch up with what's about to happen.
Okay.
And then as he keeps driving, the power poles just go boom, 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 boom. If you live in Excelsior, you probably know the exact moment that this happened because you all lost power. It caused nearly $100,000 in damage. And the Excelsior Springs Police Department shared the video on social, showcasing exactly how and why the power went out. Instead of reversing and finding an alternate route, he decided to step on the gas and, quote, try to power through, pun intended.
Is that criminal?
I said the exact same thing.
And they replied. I wonder what their training tells them if you hit a power line.
Not only did he leave a portion of our community in the dark, police say, but he also caused an estimated nearly $100,000 in damages. So you might be wondering, okay, maybe all the power poles fell. He was like, whoa, what just happened? He left because, I don't know, there's live power wires on the ground. No. On Monday, a person of interest was identified. The excavator was located. On Tuesday, search warrants were served, and a suspect was taken into custody.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a CDL truck, they can always figure out who it is because all of that is logged. They know pretty much exactly where you are when you are there, assuming you're following your designated route.
Was this guy on the job?
Let me just read what the police department said to me, because I also wrote back, is this a crime? Unsurprisingly, the dominoes began to fall after he decided to step on the gas, right? The best part, he fled the scene. Not only did he leave a portion of our community in the dark, but he also caused an estimated $100,000 in damages. The good news. Thanks to some excellent investigative work, a person of interest has been identified. The excavator was located within just 2 hours on Monday. On Tuesday, search warrants were served and the suspect was taken into custody. He is currently awaiting formal charges. We will update as it becomes available. A quick lesson, they write.
What are the charges?
Had the driver simply stayed at the scene, the situation likely would have remained a civil matter between himself and the utility companies. By fleeing, he turned a civil issue into a criminal charge for leaving the scene of an accident and felony property damage. We want to thank the community for aiding us in the investigation because apparently one of the businesses nearby had the surveillance showing exactly what happened. It
is
a crime.
Did he flee or did he just drive off?
That's fleeing, Dan. If you flee slowly, that's leaving.
There's a chance he didn't know. You said it took you said it took some time for the tension to snap back, literally.
It did.
And snap those power poles. He could have been halfway down the street and having no knowledge that this was going on.
The poles, as they are crashing down, still show the boom truck in the frame.
Okay. Yeah, but you got the radio up, you know.
How loud, Dan, are we talking here? Are we talking full blast Run DMC circa 1988? I mean, I would find it very hard to believe the driver did not know. You watched the video.
Yeah. I don't think that this driver had malintent. I actually feel kind of bad for him now that he's being tracked down for criminal charges.
He left the scene of criminal property damage.
There is a solid chance that he had no idea. And if that specific route was not marked no trucks, he had every legal right to be driving down that road.
A mistake was made and he wasn't fleeing, maybe he just drove off and didn't know.
If it were marked no trucks, that's a totally different conversation.
Do you know what another word is for just driving off? Fleeing, Dan. That's what police call.
Well, that's
fleeing.
Police speak, but that's not real world speak.
I mean, the phones are ringing. I don't know why. If you're this poor driver, I do feel bad for the guy. I don't think he woke up and thought, oh my gosh, guess what I want to do today? I want to lose my job, make everyone in Excelsior Springs angry because it's 110 degrees out. That's what I really want to do today. I don't think he meant to do this, but I also think with respect to the damage, the level of damage that we're seeing here, it does not make a lot of sense to me that he didn't know what was happening. Let's go to Scott in Olathe. Who knows about this? Scott, go ahead. Hello.
Well, so I'm a truck driver by trade.
Yeah.
And Sam asked about what does our training tell us about telephone lines?
Yeah.
Or power lines? We just don't hit them. That's the way it is.
Your training suggests you don't hit them.
Right. Don't hit them. It's not a good thing. That's not really training. You know, you got a tall truck, especially with the excavators, because that's what I haul.
Can I ask you something? Have you seen the video?
I have not. I was just listening to y'all on the radio.
I don't know what part, honestly, of this truck. Picture a gigantic, like the semi part is up front, then a gigantic flatbed. And then on top of the flatbed is a huge Bobcat excavator thing. Huge. I don't understand what part of his truck came into contact with the lines. There's nothing tall enough here. You know, it's big, but it doesn't appear to be so tall that it would reach all the way up to a telephone line. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, it could, depending on how low they are, because some of them do hang low. I mean, they do. They're not. They're supposed to be at 16 feet from what I understand, but I'm not sure exactly. But there's a pivot point on that boom where the bottom part comes in, and that's where your pivot is. And when you put the bucket on the ground, that sticks up in the air.
And Scott, what does the rule book say in terms of if there is a low-hanging line, or is that even addressed and you happen to hit it?
It's a rule book that we don't necessarily have the rule book about it, but you just know if it's low, you don't go under it.
And one more question. If you say that you haul these excavators around, if you were to, say, drive through an area with low trees, would you feel that in the cab that the excavator was hitting those branches, or is that something that you wouldn't even feel?
No, you wouldn't feel a tree. You'd feel a bridge. You would definitely feel a bridge. You would not feel a tree. And those power lines, I've never hit one myself, so I can't say what this guy felt and didn't feel. But if he had to power through it and it was like an elastic band, it had to slow him down somewhat.
Yeah, and he does appear to slow. I'm going to be honest. Here's Excelsior Springs. Let's just go to Lieutenant Dowdy. What happened here? Because these things are shaking back and forth, Lieutenant. I'm watching the video again. And then, like in a cartoon, they just go boom, 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 and all the poles fall.
Yeah. So, listen, the percentage chance that this guy didn't know that he hit these poles, I'm put it 0.01% chance. He slows down, or he slows down as he approaches. If you're watching the video,
yeah, I'm watching it right now.
Slowing down,
yes.
As he approaches the line, that I think, in my opinion, that's him realizing I might hit these lines, And then he go ahead and eases into it. And as he eases into it, then you see the truck come to a stop again.
Yep.
We believe that that's him. Oh, sorry, there's work radio. That we believe that that's him getting the tension on the line, which is putting drag back on the truck.
Yes.
And then you can actually hear, if you turn the sound up, I don't know how well it comes through on Facebook, but if you turn the sound up, you can actually hear him push down on the gas.
He guns it.
And he powers through, right? He powers through. And then next thing you know, as that tension gets more and more, those poles are designed to break.
Yeah.
And they break off and they come down. And we ended up, not us, but Ameren ended up having to replace 9 utility poles out there. And I think it was like 4 transformers. Sunday was a 16-hour day for them. And then last I saw this morning when I drove by, they were still out there working.
What would you have described, because it's you know, in the top left corner of the video we're watching.
Yeah.
Would you have described the line that he does cross under as particularly low? Because in my mind, when you think about an electrical line, most people, those are way, way, way up high. The one that he does cross under and appears to hit looks lower.
Yeah, so it's not, in terms of low, it might be lower than like your main lines that you might see stretch across a field. But in terms of low on a roadway, it's not.
It's
not.
That's
a state highway. It's a designated semi-truck route.
Okay.
So all those things are designed to be at a certain height level. I don't know them off the top of my head, but they're designed for semi-trucks to go through there. And, you know, if you do know that you're going to have an unusually high load or a wide load, you can make contact with the utility companies, and they will come out and either drop lines for you or raise lines for you.
Yes.
This guy's just kind of doing something on a Sunday, moving one piece of equipment to another location and made a bad decision.
He eyeballed it. And Lieutenant, the other thing I would say is we need to keep him away from the Independence Avenue Bridge at all costs.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that would work out well either.
The other thing I wanted to point out was you did, I appreciate you referencing, you know, they could have left this as a civil matter. Like, you know, it's an accident's an accident.
Yeah.
Had he stayed, that definitely makes you think that it was an accident. But as soon as you leave, you start to creep into that, but then you get into the criminal negligence of it. And it's like, you kind of looked at it, then you powered through it, and then you left. And he's dragging a pole. I don't know if that comes through or not, but he's dragging a pole for just a short distance at the very end. He's actually dragging a piece of a pole down the road.
Yeah.
And so he deserves some level of accountability. That's not up to me, that's a judge, but he deserves some level of accountability. And then, you know, we made reference, people were without power. That's, you know, people may have lost some food in their fridge. It was hot out that day.
Oh, the workers the next day too, out
the
there.
The line workers out there all day. Like, this really did impact a lot of people because of one guy's bad decision in less than a minute. So.
Lieutenant, thank you so much for the call and for sort of sorting this out for us. We'll post the video online. People are going to have their own opinions. That's great. That's what the program is for. 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks on KMBZ. So appreciative that we had an ice cream truck here today. That was a nice little treat. And that followed an email we got in the morning that said the AC was sort of wonky today.
Oh, it
was,
I'm so thankful intermittent. It's not 1,000 degrees in here.
I have a question. Is it...
By the way, you're welcome for the ice cream truck.
Thank you. Because you're part of the...
leader of the engagement task force here in the building.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
If you work for some place, like an office building setting, no matter where you work, but you work inside, okay? I'm not talking about my construction men and women or anything, truckers, anything like that.
Yeah.
You work inside a building.
The luxury of the white collar life.
Is there something that says you have to provide air conditioning as a company? Like, let's say in Phoenix, where you legitimately could die if they didn't. Or is it more just a luxury, like a 401k match?
So we've had this conversation many times with regard to housing, rental properties, things like that. And in some states, I think it's about half of them, AC is required as part of the habitability of that apartment.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it's one way in Kansas, the other way in Missouri. I can't remember which is which, where one state requires it, the other does not. I do not know how that applies to the workplace, because I can think of a lot of different workplaces where you are inside, but it's impossible to keep it cool. And I'm going to talk about our welders, right?
A lot of welding
is done inside, but there is no amount of AC that's going to keep a welding shop at 72 degrees. That's not going to happen. So I'm going to see what the state laws say on
that. Yeah, I'm curious, because I do feel like that's something, especially in July and August here. Well, we've seen this with our schools, Sam. Some of the older school buildings in some of our older cities that, you know, they're like, we're going to run on a delayed schedule because some of our buildings don't have air. If I was a teacher or a student in that building, I'd be like, nah, I'm going to figure something else out. You can homeschool me, or I'm going to find something else to do. I'm not working under those conditions.
Federal law, state law, nor OSHA require air conditioning in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's up to the employer.
We got a grandpa update. The heroic grandpa who ended up, a whole lot of feet up into the air when he was yeeted by a bison.
If he had a basketball, he could have dunked it.
Is a hero, yes, because he lured the animal away from his grandson moments before the attack. Have you seen?
Is that why he's being hailed as a hero?
Yes, the hero part is this. He really did do a game of hide and seek with this bison to keep it away from his grandchild, who would be dead. There's no question about it.
Okay.
If that bison had charged, okay? Carl Isom McDaniel, 65 years old, yelled at his grandson, get out of the way, so he could distract the 2,000-pound animal that lost its ever-loving mind on the loose at this campground. I don't know that we need to say the animal was on the loose. It was Yellowstone. He was actually at home.
Right, the humans were on the loose in his house.
I don't consider that on the loose in Yellowstone. But anyway, Carl and his grandson started walking along the road. The bison saw them, according to Mike McLeod, who, quote, has experience reading animal behavior.
What?
That's what this says. I'm just reading the news. He told his grandson, run along the road and go back to the place where they had just come from while he lured the bison away. So, he says, he saved his grandson's life. A photographer then steps in, because this whole thing was recorded, and started yelling for other campers to help, running, jumping up as high as I could, screaming at the top of my lungs.
Because this was in the middle of a populated campground. This wasn't some scenic drive to look at the bison. They were just camping, hanging out.
The grandpa told CNN that he believes the thing that launched this entire, pun intended, issue was that the driver who goes by in that truck right before this happened blasted his horn. The animal then became agitated and ran toward the pair. Sam, you read that right before the truck blasted the horn and right before this whole thing happened, the grandpa was also sort of
trying to get the attention of the bison. Now, whether or not the story that I read was conflating what you had just mentioned regarding he was trying to get it away from his grandson or not, I don't know. But yes, the story that I said was he's not so much a hero. He was trying to get its attention.
Well, he got his attention. He broke his femur, by the way. God bless him. In four places near his hip. Quoting here from the grandpa, when I was on the ground, immobile, unable to move, he was right on top of me.
He's lucky he didn't get trampled.
Yep, that's what he says. He could have stomped me.
Yeah.
He could have gored me. He could have done almost anything to take my life and did not do so. He says he's pleased his injuries are not as catastrophic as they might have been. He was rushed to a hospital in Bozeman, Montana, underwent surgery. The bison will not be euthanized. And I had read an earlier article where this man said, look, we're sort of in his domain here.
Yeah.
I still can't believe. This is in the story, too. It says, Yellowstone visitors are urged to stay at least 25 yards away from animals like bison. Look, I've never been to Yellowstone. You have lost your mind if you think 25 yards is a big enough buffer between you and a 2,000-pound animal who at any point decides, you know what, I don't like you. I don't like what you're wearing. I don't like the way you smell. 25 yards, Sam, is me to you.
You're thinking feet.
No, I'm telling you, it's not enough.
25 yards is not me to you.
It is not
you
enough.
You and I are like 15 feet apart.
If you could lay me down, okay, maybe four times to get to you, that's 20 feet. It's not enough for a 2,000-pound animal. I cannot believe Yellowstone says 25 yards.
By the way, bison can travel up to 35 miles an hour, weighing an average of 2,000 pounds.
You saw that thing run?
Yeah.
At 100 yards, I don't know that I would have been able to outrun that thing.
From the text line, it's like getting hit by a car.
I would go with like a Mack truck.
Have you ever seen one in real life?
No.
So I mentioned yesterday that we had that family trip to Yellowstone. We got to see bison up close. I saw a brown bear up way closer than I wanted to be. They're cool. They're fun to look at.
Yeah.
Just don't get gored.
Fun to look at until they came running right over. I'm sorry. Were you trying to get my attention? You have it.
Yeah. Here I come, brother.
913-586-7798. We're back after this. If you didn't see the video, wait till you get home tonight. You're in a safe place. Don't do this in the car. Pull up a laptop. Honestly, if you just type in grandpa or bison, you will get results. This thing has gone viral millions of times over because it's not often that you get to see what nature can do when we encroach upon their habitat.
You mess with the bison, you get the horns. You know what I'm saying?
He also could have been doing every single thing right, and some guy in a pickup truck decides to drive by and honk his horn. And here we are.
And what a jerk. Who would do that?
Let's go to Tim in Olathe. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dana. It's Sam. Hey, I've been to Yellowstone several times, and in the Madison campground, the buffalo graze within the campground. One trip, I was sleeping in my tent, and I heard this buffalo or bison grazing near my feet, within 5 feet of my feet, or my foot.
No.
Yes, and occasionally they get tangled in the tent ropes, and you just hope you are able to get out of the tent safely.
What is the allure, Tim, of being that close to a 2,000-pound mammal that with just snap of a finger could shred you to pieces?
Well, in case of a campground, buffalo can graze anywhere they want to.
Yeah. You've never been worried about your safety?
Oh, I have, yes.
Okay.
Several times.
Okay.
And that's why I don't camp in that campground anymore.
There it is. That's what I was trying to say. What is the allure of being that close to them? Are you a daredevil?
It is kind of cool. It's an incredibly powerful being, kind of a similar allure to swimming in the ocean.
Do you know what else is super cool? Yeah, like alligators, Sam, are super cool. I'm not going to go treading water next to one.
We had a story in the stack yesterday of a lady who was petting an alligator.
Let's go to James in Lee Summit. Hi, James.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, good.
Hey, you know, they got them out there in Lee Summit, and there's a large sign up there, buffaloes and elk, and it says, do not feed the animals.
Huh.
What are people doing?
Feeding
them? The only thing in between you is a chain link fence. Now, that thing comes right through the fence. And the bad thing about it is if that happens, hopefully it doesn't. Now they want to put the buffalo down. You know, you guys came into their territory. Same way with a shark. We got a man-eating shark. No, you are part of his chain food. That's all I got to say on that.
You know, I just looked this up. They're out at Lake Jacomo. You are absolutely right, James. There are two species roaming the 110-acre fenced area and often congregate near spectators. It says these are still wild animals. Please exercise caution near the fence. Huh. I had no idea.
The text line is demanding to know what should you do if you are about to get charged by a buffalo. I've got the answer for you. We'll let you know right after we get to Gina in Independence.
It's supposed to scream and run? I don't know. Gina, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I've got a PhD in biology.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the rut. If you look at the video, that buffalo's rolling in the dust.
Yes.
He's all agitated. That's the rut. They are not in their right head. And all too often, I've been to Yellowstone, and people are stupid. They get out there, they're like these idiots at the zoo that want to tap on the snake's
yeah.
enclosure to make them move.
Yeah.
Man, you're just, you're playing with dynamite. Leave it alone and respect the fact that they can outrun you many times over and put something between you and it. That you can get inside, preferably.
Hey, Gina.
If it goes bad.
When I saw the video of the bison roaming around and rolling and rolling and rolling in the dust, we yeah. have seen cats and dogs do that, domesticated animals, our entire lives, and that means they're happy. When my dog is rolling yeah. around like that in the mud and wiggling back and forth and back and forth, I said this yesterday, I go, he looks like he's happy. I never, nope. it never occurred to me that that is a warning.
That's scent.
Wow.
And display. All that dust makes him look bigger and more threatening.
Okay.
And, that's what he wants to be. And you're just tweaking his nose, and that's not a good idea.
Well,
unless you want to, you know, play with dynamite.
We need to have people with PhDs in biology call in more often, because even in one of the original stories that I saw about this, it said right before the attack,
he was playing
he
in
was
the dirt.
Playing in the dust
yeah.
and rolling around like a happy little clam. Not exactly what that means. All right. What are you supposed to do?
So let's start with the warning signs.
Okay. Is it rolling around in dirt?
Actually, no. The first warning sign is if the tail is raised between a 45 and 90 degree angle,
yeah.
that means they're extremely agitated and highly likely to charge. They advise that you back away slowly.
Slowly.
If they are pawing into the ground or shaking their head, that is aggressive posturing telling you to back off.
Yeah.
If they are bellowing or grunting loudly, that is seen as the first sign, the first warning sign of, dude, I'm getting mad. You better give it up. And if they are charging at you actively, step one, run for cover. Find a barrier or a large tree, like a massive boulder,
which
a vehicle,
this guy did.
A building.
This guy did.
Wait, there's a building. Where are you going to find a building? And get behind it immediately. Put something between you and the buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
It also says to climb a sturdy tree with low branches nearby. Bison cannot climb. So get yourself 6 to 8 feet off the ground.
Okay.
It could save your life.
Okay.
Next, drop and cover. What? Okay.
Kiss if you're in an open your field, you know what, goodbye.
With absolutely no cover nearby, do not try to outrun the bison in a straight line. Lie flat on your stomach, cover your head and neck with your arms and hands, and keep your backpack on to act as a shield for your spine.
Sure.
Basically, just accept the fact that you're getting trampled. And lastly, avoid these common mistakes. Do not play dead beforehand.
Okay.
Unlike grizzly bears, playing dead does not deter an angry bison. Only drop to the ground as a last resort if you have no other option.
How are we supposed to remember all this?
Do not stand your ground or try to make noise. Waving your arms, screaming, or throwing objects will not intimidate the bison, only further attract it
Great.
To you.
Great.
And do not use bear spray. That is the third piece
what
of
was
advice.
Right. What was the one a couple of years ago, and I think it was with the shark?
It was.
That you're supposed to
punch it in the nose.
Punch it in the nose, and then it was like swim away in a...
Swim away without moving too much water.
Right. Okay.
Don't make too much movement, but go ahead and swim away.
No flailing, no screaming. That's the first thing I'm doing.
No
and by
fighting.
The way, you guys, speaking of flailing and screaming, you think you're having a bad day. Ooh, when we get back, God bless this poor man. There is a lawsuit in Topeka. You know we love police. You know we love police dogs. We've had police dogs into the studio to talk about how great police dogs are before.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, Sam. A man gets shot. He is the victim. He is the victim of a shooting. And if you thought that was the worst thing that happened to him, enter a police officer and his canine. We have a victim.
Oh.
It's an unbelievable story. He survived.
Okay.
There is now a lawsuit. The law firm representing him is out of Leawood.
Okay.
We will tell you what the police dog did that was not helpful in the situation where I can hear Dan screaming about the soccer game out in the newsroom.
Somebody almost scored, but they didn't.
You know, they didn't.
It was
okay.
Almost exciting.
We're not doing play-by-play. I'm too tired.
No, or we can't legally.
We're back after this.
Let's not do that.
Oh, file this under bless his heart. Bless his heart, bless his heart, bless his heart. When being shot isn't even the worst part of your day. Your dateline is Topeka, but the attorneys handling the case are out of Leawood. So, a police dog deployed by a Topeka police officer in July of 2024 bit a gunshot victim in the abdomen and held on, seriously injuring him as he sought treatment at a Topeka hospital. The Leawood attorneys filed the lawsuit seeking damages in excess of $75,000 on each of four counts on behalf of the victim in this case, Anthony Esquivel. Okay? Here's what happened. Esquivel was shot and wounded 11 p.m. July 10th, 2024.
Already a bad day.
Outside of a store. This says on Northwest Independence Avenue. This has got to be in Topeka, though. Okay?
Okay.
He's outside of a store. He is shot and wounded. He then, injured, gets in his car and just hightails it to the emergency room. Meanwhile, the shooter calls 911 and says, "I just shot a man." The police officer in question was dispatched to the scene. Some guy just called, said he shot a guy. Police officer gets there and notices a car, quote, being driven very fast. Well, inside that car, you guys, was Mr. Esquivel, who had just been shot. He's trying to hightail it to Stormont Vale in Topeka. The officer turns around, lights and sirens, follows Esquivel's vehicle to Stormont Vale Health System, specifically to the emergency room. Esquivel stops, gets out in front of the ER. The officer exits his patrol vehicle, orders him to stop and raise his hands. Esquivel is unarmed and says to the officer, "I've been shot." At that point, the officer deployed his canine. It doesn't say why. The canine did what the canine is trained to do, which is attack this man who happened to be a shooting victim,
ooh,
bit him in the abdomen, and maintained the bite for, quote, a prolonged period of time. Plaintiff continued to scream, "I have been shot. I need help. I have been shot," quote, while the canine mauled his torso.
Well, thank God it was the torso and not, you know.
For whatever reason, the officer could not get the police dog to disengage.
Uh-oh.
He ultimately used, quote, a baton or similar object to force the police dog to release its grip.
Oh.
I think the way I read this, the injuries that Esquivel suffered in the dog bite are worse than the initial injuries he suffered as a gunshot victim.
Oh, if that dog was clamped down and they were ripping back and forth in any way, I could absolutely see that being true.
He has also suffered mental anguish and emotional distress.
I certainly wouldn't trust the police response ever again.
I don't know how this happens. First of all,
shot, I'm not calling 911 again.
No, first of all, it was the shooter that called 911 and said, "I just shot a guy." Oh my gosh, how does this happen? Oh goodness. And you can't blame the police dog. The police dog's doing what the police dog's trained to do.
Yeah.
We'll keep our eye on that case.
We'll let you know
how this turns out, but it's going to involve some zeros.
We may need to get our dog trainers back in here because I wonder how with a police dog you identify victim versus suspect,
the
right?
The hole in him and the blood pouring out, Sam, and he drove directly to the ER bay.
Okay, but you can't look at the dog and be like, "Hey, go for the one without the gunshot wound."
I mean,
the dog's
going to
be like, "Huh?
I'm just saying, if all things are equal and I'm following somebody who may or may not be a bad guy, into the parking lot of an emergency room, and the first thing they scream is, "I've been shot,"
yeah,
and there's blood everywhere. I mean, I don't know, I wasn't there.
Something tells me that police dog is not on duty
today.
Well,
maybe we need a retrain. Maybe.
You definitely have to release when your commander says release.
The love of all that is holy. Could Dan stop screaming out in the newsroom?
Did you see what happened?
No, Sam, I didn't because...
I mean, I agree like, he could stop screaming, but that
I'm not
going to
get
cool.
into it, but we've been doing this thing, you know, in here during the entire thing that is the thing that is the World Cup.
Well, the other thing is going to be over soon, so that's good news.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. 913-586-7798. We are back right after this on Dana and Parks.
Get the Dana and Parks podcast, KMBZ.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure to like, subscribe, and download, of course.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.